We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumski. I am now back up in the cool realm of Minnesota, my little home here in Northfield. And I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. As we record here in the morning, John, at 10:15 a.m., it's 80 degrees and 120% humidity. So I envy you up north. But good for you, John. Happy for you. And I'll just keep carrying on here where I serve as pastor.
That's right. You two just keep carrying on as I sit here and have to put on my jacket because it gets so cold of an evening. But that's okay, Matt. That's all right. I'll put up with having to wear a jacket. And you just enjoy that really extreme heat and humidity.
Yeah. Thanks, John.
And in fact, Matt, what we want to do is before we begin the show, we want to say a special word of thanks. Matt actually has much more important things to do than recording Wrestling with the Basics. And yet he is taking the time here to record a couple of episodes, in fact. We are indeed the hardest working men in radio. That's not just a joke. That's absolutely true. Because, Matt, tell the listeners what big event you have coming this next weekend.
Only the best for our listeners, John. this weekend we are going to be celebrating the marriage of our son, Noah, to this wonderful young lady, Addie, and just couldn't be happier, John. So really looking forward to that. Of course, as you alluded to, a lot of prep work goes into that, of course, the week beforehand. But this Friday, the rehearsal, and then, of course, Saturday, the wedding and reception and the big celebration. So, just thrilled. You know, it's one of those things where as soon as we found out that we were expecting Noah 22 years ago, a little over 22 years ago, you begin praying for them. And one of the things we prayed about was that God would, if it is his will, that Noah gets married, lead him to a godly spouse. And that prayer has been answered, and we just couldn't be happier. And it's kind of nice that, here she is, and she's a wonderful young lady. And we're just so happy to welcome her into the family.
So I would ask you where the wedding is going to be held, but then of course you'd be deluged by all of our fans who'd be coming there, just like you know with the whole Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, they had to keep that pretty secret there in Madison Square Garden, like no one would know where that was at.
Yeah.
So is it going to be at your church or where?
So
are you
where
it,
I think this is going to air at least the Saturday morning version after the wedding. So I think we're
right.
Safe,
it's
John.
Safe. It's safe. Yeah.
As we record this before the wedding, but anyway, it's at Ascension where I serve as pastor. So that's exciting.
Cool. Are you going to be the officiant?
I will be the officiant. We're going to have two pastors.
Oh, wow.
She grew up at a local Lutheran congregation here in St. Louis, too, and her pastor is going to be sharing the sermon. So I might fit in a few words, too, John.
Oh, sure.
Us preachers can't help it.
Yeah, you'll have to say something.
It's terrible. So, but I'll be the one signing the wedding license and everything, too. So really looking forward to that. And, just ready to celebrate.
Yeah, I know. And it's just such a big event. And this is your first child, all of our listeners, me, my family, we're all very, very happy and excited for you. And Lynn pointed out to me that the first time you and I met, you were probably pretty close to the age that Noah is now.
And I think, no kidding.
Isn't that something? And now little Noah's growing up and married and graduating from college and all that stuff.
So, unbelievable. So he'll be teaching at the Lutheran High School in St. Charles, Missouri, and just thrilled about that, teaching history. So first-year teacher, that's a lot of work, John, prepping and lesson plans.
Yeah, everything's new.
Setting up a classroom. So they have a big summer. All good things, though.
Exciting things. In fact, Lynn suggested maybe now, as we talked about the age gap there, maybe you shouldn't be Matt Youngblood anymore, but it's a comparative thing. Between you and me, you are the young blood. Because, again, I was already a pastor when I met you. So that's right. I gotta still have a few years on you. And even more on your son, Noah. But
yeah. Well, anyway. And then I thought about the young blood thing, too. I was reflecting on that. Yeah. And, you know, I can always fall back on the leap year birthday, John.
Oh, so, yeah, it's true.
You know, I'm 11 and a half, so I'm forever young.
Forever young. Oh, no, don't get me started singing. I got us into trouble the last time, you know. All right, well, again, we all love you. We love Noah and Addie and... Congratulations to you all.
Well, thanks, John. Much appreciated.
So what biblical stuff? Because that's okay. What we're here. That's what we're all about. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, it's, you know, it kind of fits into this a little bit, this whole idea of families and marriages and joining together and what the future looks like and moving and all those things. So let's look a little at Abraham, all right? So if you're following along at home, we're going to start with Genesis chapter 11, verses 27 and following. And the reason I wanted to talk about this, John, is I'm leading a Tuesday morning Bible class at Ascension, 9:30 a.m. if you're in the St. Louis area. Love to have you. We're just going through the scriptures. So when I came to Ascension 12 years ago, we were in the book of Acts, and we're going verse by verse. Well, we went through Acts. We went all the way through Revelation. Took us 12 years. But we did it, and now we're in Genesis.
Hold on. So it took you 12 years to do Acts and Revelation?
Acts through Revelation.
Through Revelation, I was going to say.
Yes.
That was a detailed study.
So, it is detailed, but there's a lot of tangents, too, we'll call them, John, that come out of that class, which is fun. It makes group Bible study fun. It's not just me lecturing, but it's questions, and it's comments, and it's... all sorts of stuff, joke telling, what a crew. But anyway, now we're just starting back over. We finished Revelation, now we're in Genesis, and we're looking at the life of Abraham. So there were some interesting comments that came up in Bible class, especially when it came to Abraham's call, So I thought, well, you know, if the people in the Tuesday morning Bible study have these questions and comments, maybe our listeners do too. So let's look at that, Abraham's call in particular, and I want to, you know, plant the seed of considering the question, you know, why did God call Abraham? Okay. You know, of all people on the face of the earth, why did God call Abraham? Okay, so let's set this up by looking at Abraham's family, the family Abraham's coming from. So right after the Tower of Babel, you have this table of nations, John, we were commenting on. Off air, where it's talking about Shem's descendants. So you have Noah's sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And then it focuses on Shem's descendants because that's where Jesus is going to come
from.
And the Bible's all about Jesus. So it's focusing on his descendants. And then now it zeroes in on this man named Terah and his descendants, and one of which is, guess who? Abraham, right?
Yep.
So if you want to get us started with Genesis 11, verses 27 through 32.
Okay. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans, and Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah. The daughters of Haran, the father of Milcah, and Iscah. Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. And they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Cana. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran.
All right. Thanks, John. So here we go. A lot of names, a lot of places. So let's just kind of pick up on the highlights here, the important ones to follow. So we have Terah and three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran ends up dying. He passes away. But he has a son named Lot, and that becomes important because this nephew of Abram accompanies him later, and we're going to hear more about Lot and the following chapters of Genesis. Yeah. But so we have Abram, his wife, Sarai, and then we have that one detail about Sarai in verse 30, John. She has no child, right?
No children. She's barren.
She's barren, has no children. And then we also have this kind of geographic information, too. So Terah takes Abram, all right, and Lot, and Sarai, of course, too. And they're going from Ur, and the intention is to go to the land of Canaan, all right? Right there along the Mediterranean coast, what today includes Israel. And they don't get there. Instead, they settle in a different place, right? They settle in Haran or Haran. So just sort of interesting as we look at the geography there. They're leaving Ur, kind of in modern-day Iraq, and now they're going to be going west to Haran, which is still on the other side of the Euphrates River from Canaan, so they're not quite there, and that's where they settle. So just kind of interesting how this works out. excuse me, the thing that's, I think, important to note is Ur and Haran, these two places where they end up living, these are not places where they follow the Lord, it seems.
Okay.
These are not places where Yahweh, the Lord, is worshipped and followed and believed in. But instead, these were places that were pretty notorious for idol worship. This moon god named Sin, of all things. Appropriately named Sin.
Yep, yeah.
So the worship of false gods. So that's where Terah and then his son Abram, his wife Sarai, this is where they're settling, all right? So this kind of sets the scene. We get this first, any comments, John, about that so far?
I think the two comments that would strike me is number one, it shows again that the Old Testament is not a book of fairy tales, because when you're telling fairy tales, you don't need to go into this kind of detail. They just come from Never Never Land or whatever. Mm-hmm, you don't need the geographical. These certainly not the extensive family details. The genealogy reminds us again that this is history we're dealing with. This is the kind of thing you do when you give historical accounts. The other thing that struck me is it's so human. The one son dies, and I'm sure we have listeners that have lost children, and Sarah is barren. She has no children. You know, I mean, it's a picture of what a lot of people that listen to us experience, where things, I'm sure that's certainly not what you hope for your son. That they have a quiver full of children, as the Bible says. I thought that too, just very, very touching, that if these are people that God are using, it'd be hard to tell, wouldn't it? Because there's so many things that have gone wrong in their lives, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, John. And, you know, from us and our human perspective, if we're going to choose someone to be, you know, the father of many, right?
Yeah.
And eventually the father of Jesus, right? The ancestor of Jesus, you know, are we going to choose this guy, you know, whose sibling has died, who's on the move, living in pagan lands, and whose wife can't even have children? I mean,
that seems to be a big problem. If he's going to be the one that will be eventually the father of the Messiah, by whom all nations will be blessed. Yeah, having a barren wife, that's probably not a good choice.
Yeah, he has a few strikes against him. Yeah. So perhaps on the biggest strike against him, you know, even bigger than Sarai being barren, is what we hear about in Joshua chapter 24.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
So here it is. I don't know if you want to look that up, John, or I can just read it.
Just read it.
Joshua 24, and this is, of course, later in Israel's history. And Joshua is calling the people just to simply remember the works of the Lord, okay? And among that is his work with Abraham.
Yeah.
So Joshua says this. It says, Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago," and that's what we're reading about now, what happened long ago. "Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah," okay, just read about him, "the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates," okay, these places like Ur and Haran, "and worshipped other gods." Okay, that's the big line. "But I took Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants." So, you know, the detail that we have here, thanks to Joshua, is not only did they live among these pagan cultures where they're worshiping false gods, but Terah himself, Abraham's dad, worshipped other gods. He was part of the pagans. He's worshiping other gods, and you know, was Abram part of that idol worship? Well, we don't know, but his household certainly was, his father's household. And so here he's coming from at least a pagan family, and kind of another strike against him as a potential father of nations and ancestor of Jesus, right? So this detail, I think, is important for us to learn from as well. And yet God chooses him. And again, that's really the question before us today, John, is, you know, why Abraham? Why this guy who, yeah, his family's even idol worshipers, pagan. Yeah, all right.
Well, but, you know, just, you know, I understand the point you're making, and it's a very valid point. On the other hand, what else does God have to choose? I'm getting the impression from reading the story that after the flood, you know, it just gets all of man's thoughts are evil from his youth. I think the Bible says that somewhere. And in fact, that's probably what prompted the flood in the first place. And it doesn't seem like it's changed. The people are still off worshiping idols. Here it is again. And I don't see a list of anyone who is particularly mentioned as someone who is a faithful follower of God. So he really doesn't have a lot to choose from. So
yeah, well, I fair enough, John. Yeah. I guess what I would think of is, you know, pre-flood, we have this detail about Noah. Yeah. So Noah, it says Noah walked with God, right? So you have this. You're exactly right. All the thoughts of man are evil all the time before the flood. It explicitly says that, and then it says Noah walked with God, and then God uses Noah, and he seems to be, you know, kind of the faithful one in the bunch, yeah. And uses him to preserve life, right, and build an ark. And we see, wow, boy, God, Noah isn't walking with God. He's building an ark, and it takes him a long time to do it. But when we get to Abram and God's choosing of Abram, we really don't have anything like that. You know, there's no Abram walked with God. That doesn't say that. All we know is what you just read, and then the detail from the book of Joshua 24, where it says that, yeah, Abram's household, his dad at least, worshipped other gods. That's all we got. Yeah, you're right. You know, it might have been slim pickings, right? But you know, at least with a guy like Noah, at least we have kind of a reason. Okay, I can see why God chose Noah. He walked with God. Well, it makes sense. But with Abram, we really don't get a detail like that. This is it.
And that's the cool part of the story, though, isn't it? That's the cool part of the story. Again, we're not advocating that people should be idol worshipers.
No. Let's be clear. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess it's also a reminder that God calls sinners. That's always how it's been, you know.
Yeah, see,
Noah, even though he is walking with God, then, of course, after the flood, he does some really wrong things, too. You know, he gets drunk. Not what you'd expect of a child of God, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and similar words said of Job, too, you know, blameless even before God. And, you know, that doesn't mean that guys like Job or Noah are sinless. No, far from it, right? But it does mean that, yeah, they walk by faith, right? Faith in the Lord. Yeah. But we don't get that detail with Abram. You know, this is it. This is all we got. And we know he's coming from an idol worshiping family. So that's all we have. So let's get to the actual call. So the verses that follow there in chapter 12 now, verses 1 through 3, is the actual call of Abram. And listen for listen for what the call is and the blessings that God lays out for Abram here. So go ahead, John, if you want to read verses 1 through 3.
Now the Lord, and in my Bible that's with all four capitals, so it actually be now Yahweh, said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
All right, there you go. So here's this blessing. Whoa, I mean, it's a big one.
Yeah.
So again, there's no setup. There's no mention of Abram being a faithful guy or walking with God or blameless like Job. This is it. So he's in Haran. He's in the household of an idol worshiper. And what are some of the blessings that God says? I will make you a great nation. I will bless those who bless you. I will make your name great. In the families of all the earth will be blessed through you. I mean, incredible. I mean,
especially just, that last part.
Yeah. All the families of the earth blessed. And we can unpack what those blessings mean in a little greater detail, perhaps in just a little bit. But I think, first of all, you know, as we consider these blessings, what's the deal here, God? Why are you, Lord, calling Abram of all people to be the one to be blessed and a father of nations and all the families of the earth being blessed through him? You know, why Abram? Why Abram?
Yeah, good question. So why? Yeah. Why Abram?
Well, yeah. Well, good, John. Yeah. Well, first, before you answer that question, can you think of any other examples in the Bible where this is what God does, that he calls someone who seems like they really don't have much going for them or even faithful, and yet God still calls them and does great things for them?
Well, that seems to be actually the pattern for the whole book, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah.
I mean, you can choose David, who was just a shepherd, who I understand from my reading is probably the lowest position you could have.
Yeah.
He's young, he's weak. You consider all the disciples. Jesus is calling tax collectors. In fact, it's actually worse than Abraham. He calls guys like Saul, who've devoted themselves to actually persecuting God's people.
Yeah. So it's this pattern, you know, that God does, you know, again, Saul, I think, a great example.
Can I give you two more examples?
Yeah, please do.
He called you and me.
Well, good. Yes.
No,
and we'll get
honestly.
There. You're exactly right.
Okay.
Thanks be to God. And why Matt and John, I have no idea. But
no.
So you have this whole list, like, you know, Saul, the persecutor of Christians, and God called him. You know, Saul wasn't walking with God. He wasn't blameless before God. No, he was, imprisoning Christians. You have Rahab, right, who was a prostitute, and yet God saves and delivers her and her family. You have Ruth, who was a Moabite, notorious pagan worshipers, those Moabites, and yet God calls her and becomes, you know, another ancestor of Jesus himself. You got the people of Nineveh. Remember, God sends Jonah to the people of Nineveh. Why? I have no idea. They didn't deserve it. They weren't walking with God. The Ninevites were Assyrians, and they were notorious for being evil people. You got Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He's not looking for Jesus or anything. He's not a good guy, and yet Jesus calls him. Goes out of his way to call him, right?
Yeah.
So you have all these examples. So in some ways, Abram is not the exception. He becomes sort of the pattern, right?
Yeah.
For all these other calls that we see in the Bible too. Here's the big question: why Abram? So I asked this of the Bible study, John, on Tuesday morning that I teach, and it was kind of a mixed response, right? Someone said, God saw that Abram would be faithful, and would do
future
great things.
Yeah.
Okay. God knew that if Abram was called, he would be a faithful guy and he would follow him. Okay. All right. Well, we do see that Abram is faithful and does follow the Lord, right? Not perfect.
No, he does some stupid things too.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, you know, at a couple other answers in the class, you know, someone just said, well, it's God's grace, right?
Yeah.
Another person in the class said, we don't know. And I think that's a valid answer.
Yep, yeah.
We don't know. God just called him. So, I would contend that it's not because Abraham was, you know, a wonderful guy or more intelligent or perhaps even more faithful at this point. And also, you know, it's not that, you know, just because he would be faithful in the future, right? You know, there's other faithful people in the Bible too, you know, but, you know, I think the answer is it's just God's grace.
Yeah.
God is God. He can choose who he wants, and he chooses Abraham, and he calls Abraham, as imperfect as he was. Why? I don't know. He's God. I'm not. But he calls Abram by his grace. And of course, John, as you alluded to, what's important for us and for our listeners is, you know, why did he call Matt? Why did he call John? Why has he called our listeners? Because we know we're imperfect. You know, we're keenly aware of that. At least it should be. But yet God has called us. And why? Well, the same answer. by his grace, just grace alone. That's it, right? It's his choosing. Yeah.
Yeah, and see, I think we need to help people understand when we say faith, that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. That faith and grace are corresponding terms. So it's not, as you said, it's not that Abraham was going to be so faithful in terms of doing yes. what the Lord wanted him to do in the future. And God saw that, okay. Because again, Abraham's a sinner and he will do sinful things. You'll cover that as you continue looking at this story. And certainly I look at my life, if that's what you mean, no, because I have so much trouble trusting God. You know, we've had some illnesses going on, and yet he's delivered me over and over again. And you think, oh, no big deal, right? I've had cancer. I've had heart disease. God delivered me from that. So whatever else comes, that can't be any big deal. But if, no, it isn't right away. Then I have the doubts and I have the questions. So, yeah, when we say faith, we mean that God, we know God has dealt with us in grace. That's what we know. So that even though we didn't trust him all the time, not that kind of faith, and yet he still loves us and he cares for us and he still delivers us. And of course, he ultimately will forgive us and grant us eternal life. So that's what we mean by faith. It has nothing to do with anything that we have done or thought or felt, but it's all about what God does and thinks and feels about us and accomplishes through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what a comfort, right? If God is going to call someone imperfect like Abram, well, then maybe he can call me too, right? You know, maybe he can work.
Not only maybe, he did.
He did. And and if we had one evidence of that as Lutherans, we'd say, yeah, well, look at our baptism, right? Yeah. You know, he called us by name and put his name on us. So I think in our remaining time, John, we've got some Bible verses, and we can read some of those where it talks about exactly that he's called us. So John 15, verse 16, if you'd like to read that verse.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide.
Yeah, so Jesus speaking there, of course, and there you go. It begins with him choosing us, you know, by grace. Romans 5, verse 8.
But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah, he didn't wait for us to be good enough to die for. He didn't just die for the good people, right? But no, while we were still sinners, Christ laid down his life for us out of his great love. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, if you could read a couple selected verses from that.
And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, but God, being rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. And again, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast.
Oh, yeah, we love that verse as Lutherans, right? And but leading up to it, that reminder that we were dead in our trespasses and sins, right? We, you know, dead people can't do anything on their own, right? No, God brought us back to life. God chose us. And those beautiful verses from Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? That we're saved by God's grace through faith, not our own doing, gift of God. Not a result of works, so no one can boast. So we see that in Abraham's life. Gift from God. Abraham couldn't boast about it. Same for us. Saved by the same way, by God's grace through faith.
Well, thank you, Matt. Thank you for sharing us to the call of Abraham. In fact, we look forward to in future episodes. Will you continue to share with us some of the things you're doing in your Bible study?
Well, I'd be happy to, John, because like you said, same chapter of his call, we see him fail miserably. So maybe someday we can take a look at that too.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us here at Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.